Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
My faith is a big part of who Herman Cain is.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise.
I think it's outrageous that they will not support him because he is a Mormon.
Why didn't Christ return on October 21? It seems embarrassing for family radio, but God was in charge of everything.
What confessional Lutheranism has is that clear teaching of Christ alone. Solus Christus, Christ for us.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
The Associated Press is reporting that the Vatican is doing something, I don't know if it's unprecedented. I've never heard of it before, and the reporter writing the story has never heard of it before. They're actually entering into a partnership with a small U.S. biotech company in New York called NeoStem. Now, for $1 million, they're basically going to kick off with a conference and then begin a 5-year initiative to promote adult stem cell therapies and research. I said adult stem cell therapies and research. One might ask, why isn't the Vatican putting its money into what everybody, or practically everybody, certainly the press says, is the only real future of stem cell research, embryonic stem cell research? Others might ask, what in the world does the Vatican, what business does it have giving money to any kind of stem cell research? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 8th of November. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute joins us first for a few minutes to talk about this partnership between the Vatican and a biotech company to promote adult stem cell research. A little bit later, Jason Barker will join us from Watchman Fellowship. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society has written for quite some time now about apostates, that is, people who used to be Jehovah's Witnesses. And they're saying, well, they say a lot of things, avoid them, but now they're saying that they're mentally diseased, mentally ill. Why do they say that, and how do we respond? Dr. Franz Posset joins us in the latter part of this hour from Luther Digest to talk about Martin Luther's father confessor, Johann von Staupitz. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks.
It has been a while. What business does the Vatican have? $1 million isn't a lot of money, but what business do they have funding adult stem cell research?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, Todd. Same business they had funding the painting of the Sistine Chapel. I don't know, you know, something of great public benefit that they think needs to get done and that they don't think will get done unless they do it. So the import of it is twofold, I think, that first of all, that they're calling attention to the fact that there actually are some cures available with adult stem cells, which have not been found at all with embryonic stem cells. So the issue is that they want to support the thing which is good, to call attention to the fact that it's good. And the other thing that I think is remarkable about it is that it's getting press coverage. I mean, I saw a story about it in NPR, of all places. So they're having already the desired effect because they're calling attention to the fact that adult stem cells, first of all, exist, and that they do the job. In other words, that all of the cures that are supposedly just around the corner, if only we would destroy a few more little embryos, nothing has been discovered from destroying embryos. Embryonic stem cell research has not produced a single cure And in the meantime, adult stem cell research has produced a whole variety of different cures. And so they're already being successful at calling attention to that fact, which is an important fact in the public dialogue that, you know, mainstream media typically doesn't want to touch.
So in other words, I mean, this is a great way just to get the fact that there are other kinds of stem cells besides the ones that require a human embryo to be destroyed.
Exactly. That's exactly. And we've been talking about that all the time. And if you look at you know, church documents, and if you look at things published by our friends out in San Diego called Catholic Answers, Catholic Answers has a little document that they call the 5 non-negotiable issues for Catholic voters. You know, they have a little Catholic voter guide. And one of them is embryonic stem cell research. We're always very clear to say we're not against stem cell research. We're against embryonic stem cell research. And the press wants to sort of sweep that all together, not make that distinction, so that they can get away with doing embryonic stem cell research when really there's a huge world of both moral difference and medical difference between embryonic stem cells, adult stem cells, and umbilical cord stem cells. So, you know, that just plain old stem cell word doesn't mean a thing, you know, until you look at it more closely.
And it's not as though the Vatican has been silent on the issue of life, even in particular on issues like this, over the last couple of decades, is it?
Oh, no kidding. I mean, they're the ones that have been pioneering the moral discussion and a drawing of careful distinctions. I mean, the little thing I just said right now, that's the kind of thing that any well-educated Catholic should be able to say. And if you go into the higher reaches of theologians within the Vatican, laymen here in the United States, we have a number of very, very fine Catholic bioethics guys who've done just fabulous work in this area. And so it's not like the Vatican is pumping money into each and every one of these people, but the Vatican is sort of, you might say, I guess you would say the figurehead or the visible leader and the visible you know, patron of them all, even though the Pope isn't giving money to Dr. John Haas in Philadelphia and Dr. William Hurlbut at Stanford. You know, the Pope, I'm sure the Pope knows that those guys are out there doing that, but he's not paying them all or anything, you know. But it's just that because of the leadership of the papacy, there are a lot of people who are working under that general umbrella and working with the same general set of ideas. And also, there have been a couple of important Vatican documents that have come out talking about different aspects of bioethics. So, yes, you're absolutely right. The Vatican has been very clear, more clear than anybody else, really, about the moral issues at stake. They're thinking further about it. They're thinking more deeply about it. They're looking further down the road, is what I'm trying to say, Todd. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, this is such a great idea. It's going to be so wonderful. But nobody thinks about, well, what's step 2 and step 3 and step 17? You know, once we set this into motion, what exactly are we going to do? What are we going to end up with 10 years from now or something? The Vatican is far, far better at that kind of long-term thinking than pretty much anybody else around.
Well, what I've found remarkable, and I mean, it's like any other kind of church bureaucracy. It moves very slowly, reacts very slowly. How nimble, how quickly, how actually ahead of the headlines the Vatican has been when it comes to embryo-destructive research. They were talking about it before it was kind of, you know, brought to the fore by George W. Bush in 2001 with his executive order. They were talking about it before that.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. And in fact, he consulted with different Catholic theologians and so on. It's my understanding, at least, that he did. I don't know that. I should be careful about saying that. But there was something for him to draw on, you know, when he was thinking about what he should do and not do and so on. And, you know, as you know, his decision had some good things about it and some not so good things about it. But there was certainly a body of work that he could draw on and consult. And there were people he could have talked to. I don't know that he did. But it certainly existed, you know. This whole body of thought that's pretty well developed. I mean, you know, honestly, Todd, if you think about it, when you have the moral principles in place and you start saying, well, where is this going to take us? You know, we believe that Jesus has told us there are certain things we can do and certain things we cannot do. And so if we just start, if we take that as a given and quit fooling around and trying to see what we can get away with, right, we just take as given that we should not destroy innocent human life and that every idiot knows that an embryo is a human life, right? if we just start from that premise and ask ourselves, what will happen if we violate that moral norm? Where will we end up? It's Catholic theologians, by and large, that are willing to take that thought farther than most people are, because usually people freak out somewhere along the path. They'll say, well, you know, but what about Michael J. Fox? He's got Parkinson's. I really want to help Michael J. Fox. Or, oh, gosh, I really want to do in vitro fertilization and only pick out the embryos that I like to use. I might want to do something that violates those norms, so let's not look at the norms too closely. You know, it's really the guys in the Vatican and the people who are faithful to them who are willing to just stay the course, so to speak, you know, and just continue to take the thought wherever it may lead them and say, no, we're not allowed to do this. We're going to bracket this whole thing.
With only about 30 seconds here, Jen, what does this say? What kind of a message, if any? It's not intentional, I'm sure, but what kind of a message should it send to American Roman Catholic politicians who have been supporting embryo-destructive research in various ways?
Well, honestly, I think that the American the Catholic politicians, really need to wake up and smell the coffee. That in point of fact, if they would simply follow the Church's teaching, they were going to end up with a much more intelligent and coherent position than they're going to be able to invent for themselves by following around the latest political winds. The Catholic position is a stable position. It's a coherent position. In other words, it's not self-contradictory, right? There aren't any self-contradictory elements to it. And so if you want to be intelligent and far-reaching, you really shouldn't be embarrassed by Catholic teaching. You really should embrace the Catholic teaching.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Check out some great resources from the Ruth Institute. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
How do many leaders of pop American Christianity misinterpret the Great Commission? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled The Not-So-Great Commission, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Kelly Klagis details her journey from parachurch fellowships to confessional Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal at issuesetc.org.